10 years ago today, there was a massacre in Nepal. The Crown Prince of Nepal strode into a family gathering, a royal family gathering, and opened fire. He killed 9 people, including his father, the king. Then the Crown Prince shot himself. The king's surviving brother assumed power, but a Maoist insurgency ultimately brought down the monarchy. Some in Nepal still miss the monarchy, and many there doubt the official story of what happened that night a decade ago. The World's Mary Kay Magstead recently went to Kathmandu and sent us this story.
The Royal Palace is a tourist site now, where families pose for photos at the gates. You can go in and stroll around through halls where kings once walked, past stuffed tigers shot by monarchs, and shimmering chandeliers over long, polished banquet tables. Librarian Ananta Koirala emerges a little dazzled by it all.
Oh my God, what a life they are living inside. What a sophisticated, highly sophisticated life inside the palace.
Actually, the palace and its furnishings look like they were lifted out of a kitschy early 60s time warp. That's when the palace was designed and built. Prabal Baniya, who's 30, is a guide here. He used to work for the last king, and his father worked in the palace before him. He thinks it was a big mistake for Nepal to end its monarchy.
Different parties, they are only fighting among themselves. In my view, I think there must be a king who can look after their children, maybe.
A king to look after his children. That's what the king's role here used to be, the patriarch, the absolute monarch. Then, in the early 90s, Nepalese demonstrated for democracy, and King Birendra agreed to transform Nepal into a constitutional monarchy. His son, Crown Prince Dipendra, was studying in England at the time. It's said he had a temper tantrum and broke a door when he heard that his future role as king would be a diminished one. Lieutenant General Vivek Kumar Shah served as aide-de-camp at the Royal Palace. He knew Dipendra from when the Crown Prince was a boy.
From the beginning, probably he didn't get the love he should have as a child. That's what my belief is.
Shah says Dipendra could be gentle, but he also had some sadistic qualities. He liked to torture animals. He also liked guns. He had a whole range of them in his bedroom, Shah says.
We always thought it's not proper, but nothing we could say, nothing we could do.
In fact, Shah says, it was kind of a royal family tradition to carry guns around. The king did it too. And whenever the Nepalese army got a new weapon, both the king and his son wanted to try it out. The crown prince did have a lighter side. There's a video of him singing and swaying with buddies in a pub. He was educated at Eton before coming back to Nepal for university and joining the military academy. One story told about why the 29-year-old crown prince decided to kill his family is that he was in love with a woman his mother didn't like. His parents told him the only way he could marry the woman was to give up his right to the throne. Kunda Dixit, publisher of the Nepali Times newspaper, says that may not be the whole story. He says King Birendra believed strongly in a constitutional monarchy. His brother and son did not.
They felt the country was going to the dogs. He gave too much away in the 1990 People Power Uprising, and that we should do something before it's too late.
On the night of the massacre, Dipendra was said to have been drinking and smoking pot. Eyewitnesses say he came down from his room to a royal family soiree, dressed in army fatigues and armed with several guns. He shot his father first, then turned to others. One was his father's cousin, Kataki Chester. She later told a British Channel 4 documentary team what she saw just before she was shot.
The look on his face was very scary. I still remember it, and still it gives me the creeps when I remember his face. He really looked exactly like the Terminator 2. Absolutely expressionless, but very concentrated.
A decade later, many Nepalese still doubt they know the whole truth. The librarian, Ananta Koirala, says he had suspicions from the beginning that the murdered king's brother, Gyanendra, put the crown prince up to it.
Like all people, I also thought Gyanendra was directly involved in the royal massacre, and he was the master planner.
Even the palace aide-de-camp, Vivek Kumar Shah, wondered at the time why the investigation only lasted a week and only concentrated on what happened, not why. He says he urged the new king, Gyanendra, to broaden the inquiry.
Was he alone? Were there other people, forces involved in it? That part should be investigated. But that didn't happen.
King Gyanendra eventually dissolved parliament, jailed journalists, and tried to return Nepal to an absolute monarchy, giving fuel to the Maoist insurgency. he was singularly unpopular, and that helped the Maoists bring him down and end the monarchy 3 years ago. Now, Gyanendra lives in a two-bedroom apartment in Kathmandu.
There's a popular perception that he's up to mischief, that he wants to come back.
Again, Nepali Times publisher Kunda Dixit.
Once in a while, he makes a statement to the effect that, at least when I was king, you know, things weren't this bad. And a lot of people would agree with it.
Do you personally think Nepal's better not being a kingdom?
No, I think we could probably have done with some kind of a cultural monarchy, just as a tourist attraction. But, you know, we had such bad luck with dictatorial monarchs.
Back at the palace, librarian Ananta Kerala agrees. He acknowledges that Nepal has its problems now, with widespread poverty and unemployment, frequent power cuts, and political leaders acting like little kings themselves.
You still go with the democracy?
He would still go with democracy, he says, because that way, at least there's a chance for the people to fix their own problems, including dealing with leaders who think they're so far above the law, they can get away with murder. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad, Kathmandu, Nepal.